Hello, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. You rate and review my podcast if you like me. And you can follow me on Instagram. It's YesKingOliver. Tatty bye.
So what I have learned in life is that there is no such thing as a perfect... Nothing goes smoothly all the time. And you can't get annoyed and hate at people who fuck up, because we're all human and even the animal kingdom fucks up, right? For example, you have a lion too busy focused on making sure his cubs are eating, right? And then before you know it, he's not looked to the right-hand side to see a big, hungry, a bigger lion, right? Who then goes and takes one of the cubs. So she's going to be like, fuck's sake, I've just lost the cub because I was too busy focusing on this cub that the other cub got eaten. And it's like, no, nothing goes smoothly all the time. You had trouble setting up your microphone. That's just life. Nothing I can do. Not going to get angry and annoyed, because you could say, yeah, should have checked beforehand, you know, an hour before, like school, get your bags ready beforehand rather than the last minute. Yeah, that's fine. But even then, there could still be issues in that moment after you've done all your checks, that there's just going to be times in life where it goes smoothly and the rest of the time it's going to fuck up. And that's okay. Just keep moving forward and stay grateful and being in harmony.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. And just like you said, I love the analogy that you spoke about the lines and everything. It reminded me of a conversation that a news presenter had with a vegan, when people compare themselves to the animal kingdom. But I'll get back to that. You know, as for the mic and everything, just like you said, you know, you prepare. You can prepare an hour in advance. You can prepare the day before, but you know what happens right before the moment where you've actually put that moment that you've prepared for, anything can happen that just like completely, like you said, fucks it up, you know? And for the lions, it's really funny how us humans sort of, we don't actually understand the whole concept that, you know, we need to accept that things happen and it's just, it's life. It's what it is. And then when we compare our lives to those whose lives are actually working out really nicely. You know, for instance, with this vegan conversation, it's really funny that you said that the one cub got eaten and whatnot, because in this conversation, people were comparing themselves to, you know, it's the cycle of life. You know, the lion eats meat, the zebra eats the grass, the human eats meat, you know, it's a cycle of life. But it's really funny is, they don't understand that if you want to compare yourself to that lion, then you've obviously got to eat your baby whenever you need to, which we humans do not do. So it just reminded me of that. Thank you for that. But I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, people need to start accepting that things are the way they are and things work out the way they do work out. You're not in control. You need to hand over that control. There are specific things in life that you do have control over. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are. But then there's things where you need to accept even those things that you have control over, like me picking up this phone. I have control over picking up this phone, but if this phone slips out of my hand, that was out of my control in a sense. So when you learn to accept even the little things into the bigger things, things just run smoothly and you start, you know, becoming more happy, in my opinion.
Like an actor, he can spend all week learning his lines, right? The minute he goes on stage, he could get stage fright and forget his lines. So all that preparation didn't mean shit. And if he just, for example, improvised on that spot and made up a storyline, the audience wouldn't know any different, right? Which means that end of the day, it's all about in that moment and you can't change that moment and really you can't plan for shit. And what came to my mind when you were mentioning about that phone flipping out your hand is, I know, for example, that if I've taken a glass out of the cupboard, and I suddenly get this voice or urge or feeling saying you're going to drop it. If I don't put it down, it normally drops. Why? Because unconsciously I know that I'm not gripping onto that glass in the same way I normally do, but I'm still holding onto it. But my brain's like, no, you're not holding onto it how you normally do. Okay. And it's like, right, if you don't change this pattern, it's going to slip out your hand. And so many times, and this is an example of the cup where it's just fallen out. If I'm walking up the stairs with a tea in my hand, and I get the feeling, put it down, you're going to drop it. If I don't trust my instinct or that voice that says put it down, it drops and it spills. The same as your phone. If you're outside on a pavement without your case on, for example, and you suddenly get the urge, put it in your pocket, go inside or go on some grass, and you don't do that, boom, you drop your phone. And this happens so quickly every single time I don't trust my gut. So that's the thing about having no control. We don't have control over shit, but we do have control over our decisions and acting upon things that tell us we should be doing this differently. Like the lion you could say the lion might have had an instinct that there was a rustle, but it was too busy feeding that lion off her tit, that she was not trusting her gut of the, you know, rustling bush. If she trusted that rustling bush gut feeling, then, you know, she might have her seven lions. Now she's got six.
Yeah, that's precisely true. And when you were talking about, you know, actually trusting the gut and, you know, that little voice inside your head saying that you're going to drop this because, like you said, you know, you're not actually gripping onto it like you used to or like you usually do. It's a really important thing to actually, like you say, put the glass down, because we're too busy sometimes focused on that little argument with you not trusting the gut. So when you're not trusting it, you're kind of like arguing with it. It's like, no, I'm not going to drop it. No, you're going to drop it. You're not gripping it as usual. You're so focused on that. You're away from the present moment. You're away from that, like that present physical, like reality that you're in that moment. And so you drop it. Whereas if you become present with, you know, in that moment and you actually say, okay, hold on, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to trust you. I'm putting you down. Boom. And you know, you don't drop it or anything. And it's a crazy thing. It's a really, really crazy thing. The little arguments that we have with ourselves when we do not trust ourselves, you know, that little voice in our head, or we negate the acceptance of actually like being present in that moment with whatever it is that's going on.
So growing up, I was always somebody growing up who was different, right? I didn't get bullied. What I did was I intimidated people because they were picking on me. I had to have the last word, not intimidate, antagonize. So somebody would say, call me a prick, right? Bullying is where you keep calling that kid a prick and they don't respond. It's why is everyone being horrible to me? I kept giving it back. So it was this constant, he calls me a prick, I call him a cunt. She called me a little shit, I told her to fuck herself. She kicks me, I kick her. So it was like fucking bombs coming everywhere and I just launched them back. So it wasn't actually bullying. And what I realized is that I wasn't in harmony with anything in my surroundings, right? Nil. Okay. Because if I said something and they didn't have the same mindset, belief or whatever, because they were following the group, right? I would counteract my way because I thought my way was right. And the majority of them didn't, because they're all following, they're all sheep. And I'm from another tribe, essentially, putting my way of thinking on them. And obviously there's like too many majority, so they win. So they look around to their majority and they're like, what's this kid on about? Smoking's cool. What are you on about? Everyone's smoking and you're not, you're the weirdo, right? So be like, no, because size and blah, blah, blah. So, and then what I realized is that I've been around people who I'm not in harmony with, where you can just be yourself. People are like, I just want to be myself. I'm being me. If you don't like it, fuck it. Fine. Right. What I have realized is that it's crucial to adapt to your environment. So you can be yourself, but you're going to find that everyone else in this world, there's 8 billion human beings, that you're not going to really fit in with probably almost 99% of them. And the 1% you do is your friends and your family. So you can be yourself and you'll naturally annoy people, right? But you won't fit in with them. And I realized from having not fitted in with people since I became aware of rapport and matching their rapport, of what it's like to fit in with them. And I'm not sacrificing and being me. I'm adapting. I'm being me, as in the traits of me that you will like the funny side of me, but my opinionated self, my, say, religious self, my political self, my judging self, like they've got less money than me, they live in a poorer state than me, they have greasy hair, they're fat. Take all that away and just be in harmony with them as a human being. And I get on with every single human being. And I can compare myself to school days where I didn't get on with anyone versus now I get on with everyone, even though I can see we are not the same people. And it's so amazing fitting in and being in harmony with surroundings. I don't know where I'm going with this, but what I'm trying to say is that it's important to fit in your surroundings and not let the ego say, well, I'm just going to be me. If they don't like it, fuck it. Actually, I know where I was going with this. It's about the voice in your head is saying, put the cup down, and you'll say no. People argue for the sake of arguing, right?
Yeah.
They just argue. rather than trying to find common ground, they argue. So they argue with the voice in their head. They argue with people down the pub, for example. What I'm trying to say to you is, don't argue with people. Don't argue with the voice in your head. If somebody says, let's go over here in this corner, rather than saying, no, I'm fine here, thank you, go with them. The voice in your head says, put the damn cup down, twat, you're going to drop it. Don't say, fuck off, Jesus, you know. I'm listening to Satan, you know. Just put the cup down and it's perfectly in harmony, and you don't spill your drink and you move on. People argue and they counteract that voice, whether it's in your head, whether it's what TV says, what your parents say, what anyone says. Just fucking listen to it. And when I did that, my life changed, because I used to battle my dad and then I listened to my dad and it just all went into harmony.
Yeah. It's when you surrender, like from all of this, it's when you surrender and you're just going with the flow, where you not like becoming a sheep. So to say, just putting that out there, not becoming a sheep. I mean, obviously don't do what's insulting yourself, what's insulting your soul. Don't do that. Don't follow that. Of course, you know, still be yourself. But like you said, very important word over there is the adapt, learn to adapt. When you were talking about the adaptation with your environment and everything and the people that you're surrounding yourself with, or the people that you are surrounded with, whether it's what you've chosen or not, as a matter of fact, it kind of is all you. I mean, you attract, you know, the people in your life. And what really came to my mind was the art of manipulation. A lot of people have a misconception of what manipulation is. It can be used as a good thing. It can be used as a bad thing. But when you decide not to label it as either or, manipulation is actually a very smart mindset. And so that manipulation of your environment, of yourself, of other people, that is adaptation. It's just another synonym for adaptation. And that's what manipulation is. And so when you're still yourself, and, you know, some people like to put up shields when they're in specific groups, or they let down their guard or whatever, you know, when you're learning to adapt and just go with the flow, you know, in environments and with other people, you'll start seeing that you're avoiding that whole argument for the argument's sake. Too many people dislike agreeing to disagree. I mean, there's many, many occasions where I'm talking to someone and I disagree with them, and they'll tell me one thing and I'll tell them, okay, well, you know, I don't fully agree with you, but I won't go and argue and say, no, you're wrong, I'm right. You know, I'll say, okay, I disagree with you, but I want to understand your perspective, why it is you think your perspective is right and mine isn't. I want to meet that common ground. And too little people actually do that. And that's where that 1% comes in. You know, it's the 1% that I agree with is probably not the same 1% that you agree with. It's probably not the 1% that my neighbor agrees with, you know? So we all have that, that 1% that you spoke about in the 8 billion of the world that agrees with us, that we can flow with, that we can be comfortable with. And then there's that 99% or 98% or whatever percentage that is that we won't agree with, but we need to like not argue for the argument's sake, because when we live in conflict, we're not flowing, and when we're not flowing, we're not actually surrendering and we're not being happy. And what's really funny is when you were talking about your childhood, I was in a sense quite the opposite. When I was a kid, I also did the antagonizing. So if I got bullied, I would always throw back, because they would always want the reaction. They would always want to see that they're in power. That's what bullying is. But when you're showing back, hey, listen here, buddy, we're equal. If you can throw it, I can throw it back. If you cannot accept it, well, then I'm sorry. You cannot accept it. You can't dish it out. That's what I did. So if you threw a shoe at me, I threw the shoe back at you. But I was the sort of person where I could fit into any group, because at a very young age, I was so curious to see what it was that, you know, what was required to fit in, you know, to the rich kids, fit in to the popular kids, fit into the sports geeks, fit into the IT nerds, or whatever the cliques were. I was sort of like the outcast, but I wasn't seen as the outcast because I was in so many different environments. But it wasn't because I was trying to fit in. It was because I was trying to understand what made this one so different from this one, what made this one hate this one. And when people learn to do what I did, and I only came across this, you know, recently last year, I started realizing that, you know, at a very young age, I realized how important it was to actually avoid conflict. But over the years, I wasn't aware of it. Subconsciously, I avoided the conflict, but consciously, I was not aware of the fact that I was avoiding conflict through common ground. And when you were talking about, you know, your childhood days being like that, it just brought back some memories of, you know, how I used to throw shoes at the older grades because they would disrespect a girlfriend of mine. And it brought back some really good memories. So I thought, let me just put that out there. But you know, it's true what you say. You know, people need to start finding that common ground and stop arguing for argument's sake and stop thinking, because thinking is just thinking, you know, just do, surrender and flow.
Yeah. So master of manipulation. I am a master of manipulation. There will never be a human being that can manipulate like I could. For example, I can negotiate a trade deal between China and the US. I could get any person I wanted, female, right? Because I'm not gay. I could negotiate any business deal. I could do a Darren Brown / David Blaine / Dynamo magician hypnosis act where you convince people to do something like hypnosis, like these magicians do. They can get you to do things. Like there's a guy called Darren Brown who hypnotized somebody to take out £5,000 from his bank and give it to him in the street. And he didn't even know he did it. So that manipulation to me is about having control over yourself and how the universe works. Anyone can get to the manipulation level that I am at, a magician is at, anyone's at, okay? It's just an awareness of how life works. As you said, you can use it in a bad way. You can use it to rob people, to get all women to fall in love with you and then shit on them, which is a bad thing. You could do it to negotiate a bad business deal, or they think they're getting the upper hand, so you're selling them copper and they think they're buying gold. It can be done both ways. You can use these powers to do bad, or you can use it to do good. I fortunately only use this to do good. I've never had a girlfriend, right? I could easily have anyone, but I don't want to. So that's the thing. It's all about being in harmony with people. Too many people are different to others, so they don't really match. If you match the environment around you, you come down to the level of the female, or even just guys down the pub, right, who I don't fit in with at all. I will fit in, so I'll be such a lad, I could get any girl that I want, but I'm sacrificing the whole version of myself, so they're only getting say 25% of me. Or they're seeing, oh, this guy's a lad, he's 20, they're only seeing 25% of me. If I'm really myself, they're going to feel inferior to me, hence why I've never had a girlfriend, because eventually they feel inferior to me. Not that I'm trying to be superior. You just see yourself as not the same, not any better, just not the same. And it can be used for good and bad, just like that David Blaine or Darren Brown. They can use it to control people for the bad way, or they can do it for a good way. They can make you stumble across money that you can use to benefit your life, or they can make you take out £5,000 and give it to them. So it's a power not to be taken for granted, but it's a power any human being has the ability to learn and use. End of story.
Yeah. And funny enough, this is what happens in kids shows, you know, because kids are so, and I work with kids, they're so open, they're massive sponges. And this is why, you know, when we're older, a lot of people say that they cannot do this, or they don't learn fast or whatever. It's mainly because they're not sponging like they used to when they were a kid. They were not as curious as they used to be, you know, when they were a kid. And in the kids programs, we sort of, there's people that know how curious and how spongy kids are. And so in the kids programs, they put in these little suggestions of, you know, you can choose, do you want the good or the bad? For instance, you know, while you were talking about the power and everything, I mean, one of the best examples is Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility, yeah. You know, and it comes down to being humble. It comes down to that surrendering. I mean, you could use that manipulation for a bad thing, to pull out that you know, 5,000 to empty someone's bank account for yourself, or you could use the manipulation to show them that they too can reach that potential, that, you know, they can manipulate life into their own sort of design. And that's why I think, you know, how can I say it? It's something that not a lot grasp, and I personally grasped it quite late in my life, even though I'm pretty young. But when you realize that you do have that power to choose whether you want the manipulation, because I mean, like you said, we all have access to it. If one person can do it, then everyone can do it. It's a level of awareness, like you said. If you can do it, Oliver, I can do it. And it's got nothing to do with feeling inferior and, you know, superior. Like you said, it's all got to do with that entitlement. Are you reaching that entitlement? Whereas for you, for instance, you've met this girl and you know, at the bar or whatever. And eventually she's only getting 25% of you, like you said, but eventually she starts feeling inferior to you. That's got nothing to do with you. You know, you're responsible for what you say, not what they understand. You're responsible for what you put out and yourself, not their perspective. You know, you are who you are, and how they perceive you is completely, you know, up to them. And so when you flaunt it and when you start bringing in that entitlement, oh, I am superior to you, oh, I can do that, that's, in my opinion, not the right or the wrong way, but there is a better way to use the manipulation and to use that superiority and that great power that you have in a more responsible way. You know, that's more beneficial to others rather than just, you know, your own selfish gain.
Yes. Yeah, so Hitler is a fine example. Until he did the thing with the Jews, right? He was just a master manipulator. Like any leader, they become a great leader. They've got lots of followers and they get greedy and they want more. So they decide to take over Poland or whatever shit that happened. And then that now there's pushback. And so you try and eliminate it. So you can either shoot them or gas them. It's like whatever does the job, right? He chose the gas thing. But if you understand his mindset and what he was like at home with his wife and his dog, he loved nature. He was an artist. He was a painter. He just, what made Hitler a bad person was what he did to humans, which was the Jews thing. But if you understand him, he was just a master manipulator. You could say just like Trump, he's just a master manipulator, and they only become bad when they don't realize that time's up. But it's the mindset. He was a master manipulator. He was a leader. That's why they compare Trump to Hitler, right? That's just what came to my mind in terms of master manipulator, because if you understand his story behind the scenes, he's just like a human being, but it's what he was doing and how they perceived what he was doing as wrong that made him a bad person. That was number one. Number two, I want to talk about something completely random and different. Years and years ago, dreadlocks, right? So black people are known to have dreadlocks, white people are not, right? But dreadlocks is just knotted hair. So if black people have an afro, right, and white people have hair that grows, you can understand how white person's hair, say back in the caveman days, would get knotted as they sleep on it. So whether they have a black afro or long white hair or long hair from a white person, it's going to get knotted. So the stereotype of dreadlocks for a black person is simply nonsense. It's just a stereotype based on a perception of what we're used to seeing, right? So if years and years ago, when we had long hair because we didn't have shavers and scissors or whatever, our hair would get knotted, then every human being would have long knotted hair. And it's interesting because I used to think to myself, because I had long hair, at what point does it stop growing? And the answer is it gets so knotted and so heavy that it just snaps. And eventually all the hairs in that bunch of knot will snap, that you essentially have months and months and months of hair when it snaps just gone. And then the cycle starts again. And then I used to think to myself, well, how about the beard? Does the beard just snap? Does it get tangled with the long hair? What happens? And the answer is it's like a mythical beast of all the hair just merging into one. So you just become this long haired, you know, these dogs, I don't know what breed it is, but there's one specific dog that's got such long hair that it just all goes into one. And then you could say that's what a chimp was, just all this hair. And and then he shredded hair when it got too hot, because then it, like animals do when it gets hot, their hair shreds. And then there was no hair. And then it just starts again. So any knots you had, well, it just disappears because it just falls out, like a person with cancer, right? After chemo, it just falls out and it starts again. So all these knots eventually won't actually matter. And it has to do with something to do when it gets hot, that you shred the hair. And in the winter, the animals grow the hair, which means hair will only get down to a level of when it's summer. Because when it's winter, say 6 months after it's been summer, essentially you're only going to get 6 months worth of long hair growing.
I actually love where you were going with that. I quickly want to touch up on the previous, you know, comparison with Hitler and everything, and just say that I didn't want to interrupt you or anything, but like too many times people we characterize people on the bad things that they do. Not many people actually know that the one amazing thing that Hitler did was invent the the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just think about that. Yeah. But instead, no, we've decided to forget about one of the best engineering feats on the planet because he was just really cruel to human beings. All right. So I just wanted to, you know, put that out there because that's what came to my mind. It's all got to do with like how we perceive people. We tend to just judge them on what they do wrong too often, as to actually taking the time to understand what, you know, behind the scenes, like you said. But on the topic of, you know, the knotted hair and everything, I actually like that because, you know, I've got that many times where people have looked at my long hair, and personally, I wanted my own dreads as well. But then they would say, no, dreads are messy. You know, don't do that. Your hair looks so amazing the way it is. And it's got nothing to do with that. Yes, it's more common for the black person to have dreads because of their genetic code with their hair. You know, the pigmentation and everything like that does affect the, you know, the thickness of the hair and how it knots and how easy it knots. And, you know, it's the same for us. But in the end, it's not impossible. And you can keep it clean as well. And the funny thing is, in nature, yes, I agree with you. You know, there comes a stage where it gets so heavy that eventually the it's sort of like split ends, you know, when you get split ends for your hair and you don't look after it. I mean, the caveman didn't know what L'Oreal was. I mean, let's be honest. they did not care for, you know, looking after their hair. They cared for, oh, there's, you know, something maybe in my hair and it looks tasty. I'm going to eat it. You know, we didn't hunt that lion because the cub got eaten by another lion, you know, that sort of thing. So the funny thing is it comes down to, it does fall off and we do shed. We're so much in tune with it. How can I say it? The humans have decided that they're on top of the food chain and negating the fact that they're also a part of the animal kingdom. You know, we're all animals, whether we're walking on two legs, four legs, six legs, we're all a part of this planet. And so just like a cat who sheds their hair, just like a dog who sheds their hair, you know, just like any animal that loses hair in summer, I don't know if it's because of sweat or anything, maybe because it's hotter, the body just automatically just loses hair much faster. Or in winter where they just hold on to it longer. I'm kind of imagining the muscles at the roots, you know, just like, oh guys, it's really cold. And then it's like frozen, you know, like visually imagining that. But but it's the same with us. It's the same with us. You know, when it gets too heavy, it falls off. When it gets too hot, we intentionally either cut it or it falls off by itself as well, even though we don't notice it. I mean, every day, it's hot right now where I am. And I could just be like putting my hand through my hair and I would lose hair. And it's completely natural because not only is it very hot, but it's also because those hairs that I'm losing are the hairs that, you know, are no longer strong enough to hold on. So they break off. So absolutely. And for the beard, I've never seen my beard connect with my hair, but you know, maybe one day I can, I can experience that full sort of like helmet ring. I could be a lion.
So what's coming to my mind is this. As I was saying, it's all about, hang on a sec. It's all about adapting to your environment. For example, there could be Jewish people listening, black people listening, vegan people listening, right? If you speak about specific topics close to people's heart, right, then naturally you're treading on thin ice because you're probably not going to agree 100%. So they'll be listening until at one point I disagree. At that point, you can have an argument of why you disagree and enforce your way or just merge to the left. For example, the thing about being true to who you are, all my wisdom, I could just speak. Black people may say disagree, dreadlocks are for black people, vegans. You shouldn't be speaking about animals like that. Jewish people, Hitler was a good person, you fucking idiot. No. So it's like you don't want to offend people on purpose. You don't want to sacrifice yourself, but when there is billions of other things out there that you can speak to people about on common ground, billions of conversations you can have in harmony with people, billions of tribes and groups at school where you can fit in. For example, if you've got a rugby group of friends and the minute you speak about football, they say, shut up, no one wants to listen to your bullshit. Fine. Go over to the football group, talk about football. The minute somebody doesn't like what you're saying, don't reinforce your opinion, or it's my opinion, why can't I say it? Because you've got to understand, everyone is an opinion. Everyone has an opinion. Every single person has an opinion about something else. That at some point through a conversation, you're going to not be in harmony, which means you're going to disagree. that is okay. If you looked at that and they looked at that, you're going to see two different things. So be in harmony with your surroundings, right? For example, don't go off on the Hitler shit, right, about there's good sides to him, because it's just my opinion and there's no value to that. Wisdom, which everyone can learn, has value. Just my opinion, okay? Black people, dreads, stereotype, should they have it? Should white people have it? Doesn't fucking matter. It's just fucking an opinion. Like, that is a pillow, okay? And, like, the vegan shit. Oh, well, animals, we've only survived because of animal, because we've beaten animals. Vegans are like, well, we can have leaves. It's like, dinosaurs had leaves. Correct. I'm absolutely in agreement with you. But that's just how I see it in this situation. I don't need to reinforce my view, my opinion. People reinforce their view and their opinion because it's about being heard and I'm going to be true to who I am. And they argue and then they get energy built up and then they have to reinforce it. No, let it go. Be in harmony with your surroundings. The minute you are in disagreement, that's fine. Change the topic. And it's not about just preaching your thoughts and belief systems. An opinion is doesn't mean shit. Find in harmony with somebody. Find something in harmony with them. Like, if you both like plants or mirrors, yeah? Talk about mirrors. The minute you start going down a path of actually, no, dreads are for black people. It's like, why? Hair is part of nature. Hair gets knotted. Why is that for black people? My hair gets knotted. So I grow long hair. I don't brush it. I get knotted hair. You're going to say, oh, that's for black people. Why are you having dreads? I haven't got dreads. It's just knotted. It's nonsense. Change the topic talking about mirrors. Oh, man, I love a mirror. Yeah. The shape of a mirror. How it reflects back at me. Yes. And how you got to spray it afterwards because you put fingerprints on the mirror. Yes. And it's so shiny. Oh, my God. Yes. Find things you're in harmony with.
Exactly. No matter how small it is, you know, that mirror one just got me really. I'm just imagining this really deep conversation about mirrors and the curvature of some mirrors and, you know, how sometimes it would distort your nose and like, oh my goodness, you know, like, oh, even in those conversations that you have with people where you're in perfect harmony, there's going to be little disagreements. I mean, you're going to be talking about mirrors with someone who loves mirrors as well. And you're going to be like, oh, so my mirror, you know, kind of distorts my nose and I don't like it when it does that. And the other one's like, oh, wait, what do you mean? I love it when it distorts my nose. You know, there's going to be that disagreement, but because they're already in harmony with the conversation, there's no conflict. There's, in fact, humor. There's, in fact, agreeing to disagree subconsciously. I mean, you're not even aware of it, but you're agreeing to disagree just like that. Oh, I kind of like it when it does that to my nose. And then you end up laughing about it, you know? But I totally agree with you. If you start having more conversations where you're in harmony with people, that's great. But also don't avoid conversations where there would be disagreement, where there would be, you know, that higher chance of conflict, because if you have those conversations, you learn from that. The best teachers of anything in life is always that which, you know, most people avoid. The best teacher of love in life is pain, is heartbreak. The best teacher of gratitude is lack, you know, is not having something, being ungrateful. And people avoid that. They think it's such a bad thing. And when you avoid it, you're actually not growing. You think you're growing. You think that if you clean everything before you eat, like, you know, with the germs, and you make sure that you're, you know, you call yourself a germaphobe, but if you make sure everything is spotless, that you can lick it clean, you think you're clean and you're healthy. But in actual fact, as soon as you get exposed to one tiny germ, you're going to be so weak because you haven't built your immune system. And so it's in those moments of conflict and those conversations of disagreement and those conversations where there is a high chance of conflict, that is where we grow the most. But it also makes us appreciate the conversations that we have in harmony with a lot of people. And it all comes down to opinion. It really does come down to opinion. You know, we're all here. We all have our own opinion. And when we start learning that everyone else is on their learning journey, everyone else has an opinion, you'll start paying more attention to your own opinion and accepting others as well.
So check this out. Is half the world colorblind, right? Or do people see things differently? Period. For example, The gold and yellow, the gold and blue dress. So there was this dress a few years back, and it was like, is it gold or is it blue? I'm not even kidding. Half the people said it was blue, half said it was gold. There was a thing called Yenny and Laurel. Yenny, Yenny, Laurel. So it's a sound thing. People heard Yenny, people heard Laurel. It's like, well, hang on a sec. That is either fucking blue or it's red. That's either a dog or a fucking goat. How could you think that's a goat? And the answer is, if he was taught that was a goat, then it's a goat, right? How can that dress be blue when it's quite clearly gold? Well, no, because you're told that that word gold and then shown that picture of frequency of light is gold. But what if, for example, people have different eyes where they see different colors? For example, dogs can see things like, for example, ghosts, right? They can see things. They can smell things, right? When I used to believe my grandma was here 7 years ago, my dog used to look up at my head. She used to look up in the corner. And to me at that point, she could see grandma. So I was convinced that my grandma's spirit was in the room and it was comforting. But my dog was just, my dog could see something. My dog could hear something. What could you see? What could you hear? And then I stopped believing my grandma was here, and my dog has never looked up and done anything the same. When I go into a deep meditative mindset, I notice she does it again. Let's just say my grandma wasn't here and it was just me, my energy raising to such a high frequency that my aura expands, which is vibration, which you could say is light. Under a camera, you could see someone's aura. What if a dog has that same lens of a camera and could see the aura, like a heat camera could, of energy in the room, which means a dog can see light in the form of energy rays in the room, right? Dogs can hear sounds that I cannot hear. So if a person's looking at that dress seeing gold and the other person's looking at that dress seeing blue, it means that there's different eyes, different retinas that see different things. Because if a dog can see my grandma, who's to me isn't there, right? And you're saying that's blue and I'm saying it's fucking gold, mate. Well, who's wrong and who's right? There clearly is something in this world that has human beings seeing different things to literally half of the other. Not, it wasn't just like 80% said blue, 20% said yellow. Whatever. It literally was 50-50. Now, how is that possible? Because that's saying that the whole world's either half colorblind or we see things differently, which is crazy, because that means that all the colors you see is not the same colors that I see. And it's to do with the amount of sun you say in South Africa get. People who left the jungle, so black people who left the jungle more recent than, say, white people, have their eyes got used to different lighting or some shit like that? Who knows? The point is that human beings see the same thing differently, and that is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes down to that, that opinion as well. You know, we all have the different opinions, and that's because we physically also have those different perspectives. And I actually have a few things I want to touch up on there that you were saying, but you know, this is something I, you know, using as example to a lot of people when I tell them that, you know what, you need to accept that that person's truth is that person's truth. That person's perspective is that person's perspective, whether it's different to you or not. Who's to say that you're right and he's wrong? Who's to say that he's right and you're wrong? You know, because think about it this way. We do get taught that this over here is orange. All right. This is orange. This is probably not orange to you through the camera and, you know, through your eyesights and your glasses or whatever, but this is orange to me. But that's because I've been taught as well that orange, the word, is associated with this color, this existing sort of
spectrum
light
of light
pigmentation, spectrum of light. There we go. There we go. We got it. All right. And then this over here is blue. You know, this is green. But people who are colorblind, they will not see that. People who are not colorblind, they will not see that because they've associated and they've been taught throughout their life that this is blue. They've been taught that the word B-L-U-E, blue, is associated with this spectrum of light. They've been taught that this spectrum of light is associated with the word R-E-D, red, I've been associated with purple, you know, that sort of thing. And people need to accept it that, you know, perhaps it's either the way the person got brought up, or there is actually a, you know, a pigmentation in their eyesight that they have that we don't have. And it comes down to the animals. All right. That's the connection through the animals. I also believe that animals can see auras. Animals can see way more than we can. And I know for a fact that cats can see infrared. So they can see, you know, when your phone is connecting to a Wi-Fi, or when you're pressing your remote for your TV, they can see that little infrared thing. That's why cats don't like microwaves, you know? And what's really interesting about that, when you were saying that it could have been your aura that you were putting out, in a sense of like, it wasn't your grandma's energy, but the fact that you were creating that energy inside of your aura in that room, the dog started seeing it. It's like you were purposefully putting out that energy as an energetic, you know, piece, or, you know, I'm lost of the word right now. In that specific spot, like if you had to imagine a ball of light right in front of you, okay, obviously you cannot see it, but you're focusing so hard on creating that energy, the animals will see it. And so they will be focused on that as well, you know, because they can see way more than we can. And when you stop doing that, they'll stop seeing it, because you're not putting in that focus anymore. You're not expanding that, or you're not creating that energy for them to hear it, see it, or even smell it. But that's a different story. The other thing I wanted to touch on with that is, what's really funny is that's how everything works. So long as you believe that something is to be true, anyone who is close to you, who vibrates almost at the same frequency as you, will also believe. But as long as you stop believing, it will no longer be there. You know, it's like when you get a white car, you want to buy a white car, let's say a Ford Mustang. You've never seen a pink Ford Mustang in how long? You get yourself a Ford pink Mustang, really, really pink. We're talking Barbie pink. And you drive it down, you know, your driveway, and your mom comes out and you're like, okay, hey, check out my pink Mustang. Your mom says, ah, that's not pink, it's blue. But anyway, let's carry on. Nice car. All right. And then the next day, your dad comes in and he's, why'd you get a pink Mustang? And you say, because no one else has it. And your dad's like, okay, all right, but you have it now. It's like, yeah, I'm the only one that has it. And a week later, you see another pink Mustang. Like, wait, I thought no one had it. Next week, you see a third pink Mustang, totally different one. This one's got different rims, so you know it's a different pink Mustang other than yours and the one you saw last week. But it's because you didn't see it, so you stop manifesting seeing it, you know? It's like you've convinced yourself no one else has a pink Mustang, so you're not going to see it. Now that you see a pink Mustang every day, you're going to start noticing all the other pink Mustangs. And so that's what I think plays a huge part in, you know, what the animals see and with our auras. And if we can take that belief and become aware of that belief and put it into the energetic light spectrum of light, we'll start realizing that, yes, some of us are colorblind, some of us aren't, but who cares? This is still orange for me, regardless.
So it's the power, and what you're saying is that when you admit that belief, it happens. For example, I believe that grandma was here, period. I never turned off the belief that she wasn't, which means she is. Unconsciously, my energy is still admitting out that vibration. Now, I don't think I've ever told this story. I might have done, but I used to have my iPhone, okay, all night. So my parents went to bed all night. I used to get my iPhone out, iPhone 4, whatever, put the flash on, hold it in front of me. I used to watch the screen. I used to say, Grandma, if you're here, fly past. And this orb would fly past. When I didn't ask for her to fly past, nothing. When I asked her to fly past, I called it do a dance, right? The orb would fly past and I would print screen, screenshot the phone, zoom in to the orb, and I'd see a face, right? Now, obviously, if you're looking for a face, you're going to see a face. If I'm looking for a laptop, there's a laptop. So I thought, okay, she was never in the first place, right? Moving on. The point is this, that in my bedroom, I would then focus somewhere. Grandma, fly towards that corner of my cabinet, fly towards the windowsill, fly towards my coat. I'd wait. the orb would fly and go towards the coat. It will go towards that corner. It will go towards the shoe. So if Grandma was here, then she was doing exactly what I was saying. If she wasn't here, I had the ability to move dust particles, because that's what it was. She was never here. She might have been, but, you know, it was dust. I have the ability to move dust particles, which I called an orb, to wherever I wanted it in the room. So if I believe my grandma was over there by my laptop looking at me, my dog would just glare over there. So it's the belief that she was here in the first place that emitted that energy that in the dog world could see as light. As you said, cats can see infrared. I'd love to get a laser that we can't see, but it's there, and see if your cat can see it, because that's fucking incredible. So cats can see infrared. Dogs can see auras. Now, apparently dogs only see black and white. That is quite sad. But if it's true, if it's true, it means that they simply see what's here, and what isn't here is simply the opposite shade, which would make sense. How it's like night and day. They can see grandma in terms of night and day. It's dark and then it's light. So to them, it's like turning on a light in a dark room. It's fucking obvious, right? But if she was never here and it was my energy, then Jesus Christ, the power is when you believe something exists, it then does. Now, I used to speak to her all the time. It was just me speaking to the voice in my head. The last thing she said to me was, when I was in the shower, it was going to be okay. I didn't need her there anymore. And the day I didn't need her there anymore is the day she fucked off. Selfish prick. What if one, she did exist and I can get her back simply by asking and waiting for the signs. Two, believing that she was here, even if I knew deep down she wasn't, but the act and art of believing is essentially the same as projecting that energy into that corner where the orb flies over there and my dog looks over there. If I can turn on this belief, then it all comes back. Last night I was having a log fire, had an incense candle. I remembered when I was, say, 16, 15 years old, I was in a fire with my friends. They weren't friends. They were just people who were there, right? And everywhere I sat, the smoke followed me. And they were like, man, it keeps following you. And it was like, oh, fuck's sake, why is it here? Grandma's fucking playing games, right? I think this is way before grandma days. But the smoke would follow me. And in the garden, I had my incense thing. And in my mind, I was going, go right, go right. It would go right. And I'd say, go down to the left. You've got to give it time. 10 seconds. Because the energy's got to charge and build up and then move. Like when you do telekinesis on a rock. This guy on YouTube does it for an hour and then it falls off. So it takes time. You know, having the cling foil, the foil on a toothpick stick in an orange, it doesn't spin straight away. It takes time. And so I was looking at my incense smoke go to the left. It was happening again. And it made me remember the smoke in the fire days with my friends. And it made me remember of the orb. It's just dust. But the point is, I can move dust. I remember laying on the kitchen floor at 3 a.m. Everyone was asleep. The clock was going.
That's actually a good adaptation of that sound.
For hours. And I realized now that was just me meditating for 2 hours, waiting for my grandma bit of dust to fly past the lamp. But I was meditating for 2 hours. I can't even do 5 minutes at the moment, right? But wow. And then I would look at the light, it would click, and I wait for dust to fly past, and I could move that dust. I could control that dust like Matilda. I could bring it in front of me and it would just hover in front of me, and I could move it to the left and move it to the right. I had superpowers, but at that point it was just grandma. But really it was me using my energy to control dust particles, which explains how people years ago used to use sound vibrations to cut rocks. You know, ancient Egyptian days, they used to move rocks. People were like, well, they didn't have a tractor. How could they lift this rock? Well, they just used sound vibration. They found the frequency of that rock and they enhanced it like the wine glass. You go, and you put your fingers in the water and you spin it around and all the other wine glasses start to move and they start to crack. And it's like, wow, that was done by my mind, which means if I were grandma back, just got to ask her. Because then that's me simply admitting the energy.
Yep. There's so much I wanted, like, that I got from there.
Do it.
But specifically, I just want to say you just it was like on point with the sound of the clock over there, man. but What I wanted to say with that is it's got to come down to the labels that we give things. It could either be, it could have been grandma, it could have been the dust particles that you were moving, but it's energy regardless. So what people need to realize is spirits and, you know, believing that they're still there or whatever, it's the energy that you resonated with that person. So the physically they're not there, but the energy that you had that, you know, with that person, that you resonated with that person, that you recognized with that soul, with that person, right, is still there. So you can recreate it. You could still invite it in because you're familiar with that energy. And that's what I believe that dust particle was. And when it comes down to that focus, that amount of focus, like you said, it takes time. It's not just like, oh, it's going to happen. You know, I'm going to look at it and it's going to, it does require a lot of focus. And when you're focusing on the wrong thing, trying to move, let's say this phone off of my hand, but I'm actually not focusing on the fact that the phone is moving off my hand. I'm focusing on the fact that it's not moving off my hand yet. It's not going to move, you know? I wanted to say with this is, when you were in that meditative state for 2 hours, but you cannot meditate for 5 minutes, I do believe that when you're focusing on, you know, putting aside time, this is why I don't put aside time, you know, during the day to meditate. I believe that meditation should happen in everything that you do. Everything that you do that you're passionate about is a meditative state, all right? It's a state of mind. It's not a state of being, all right? And when you are meditating, when you're actually like sitting and putting like, okay, 10 minutes, I'm going to put aside these 10 minutes to just sit and try and meditate. You're not actually meditating because you're focusing on the fact that you're sitting there trying to meditate. All right. When you're enjoying yourself, when you're at peace with yourself, when you're in acceptance of everything that's just flowing, that's being in meditation. And so you forget, you lose track of time because that's what it is. And when it comes to that moving of the orb, I do believe that in that state, you were meditating. And so you were focusing on it and you were moving it because that is the energy that you were familiar with. And so it was very easy for you to recreate. And then because you were creating it, you could label it whatever you wanted. You could have called it a Tinkerbell. It was Tinkerbell and Peter Pan. It was my grandma. It was the face that you wanted to see. Do you understand?
Fucking tooth fairy.
The labels mean nothing. Yeah, exactly. The tooth fairy, you know, the labels mean nothing. That's a physical 3D thing. You know, naming something is a physical 3D thing. But that energy that you are controlling, which you are, people can say it's spirits. It's out of my control. Okay. It's out of your control. That's fine. You manifested it there. How did you manifest it there? When you become aware of that, then you start realizing, I'm taking the control back. So you can bring your grandma back in the form of that energy that you resonated with her. Because, you know, like I've been told many, many a times, energy is not destroyed. It's just reincarnated, recreated, recycled. It keeps living wherever you put it, wherever you leave it. And so when you stop believing in something, then the energy will move on. But that's not to say that it's not there. When you start believing in it again, you will invite it back in and it will be there. It's not like, oh, I do not believe in this phone. Phone's gone. No, it's, I do not believe in this phone. All right, I believe in this phone. You will bring it back. It's interesting. We all have a lot of superpowers. Some of us have just not unlocked it yet. That's what I believe.
So every single night I used to lay in my bed and then I'd say, grandma, if you're here, turn the Mac on, and the Mac would power up. And then I realized, okay, well, it does have this thing called wake for access mode, right? Which means if I got used to at the same time every night, the Mac turning on because the network for some weird reason needed access, right? It would get turned on at that same time. And I'd be used to it unconsciously at that same time turning on, which means I'd ask for grandma at the same time. So sad, but it's true. That might not have been me, my energy, or grandma. It could just be the network access. And then I turned it off, nothing, right? But again, what if that had nothing to do with it? And it's just a coincidence at the same time I turned off the belief system that she was here and turned off the wake for access. And it didn't work. And the mere concept of me believing that she was never here and it was the network access that because I've turned it off, that overrides my belief that I can't get back into that belief. It's almost like wanting something to be real, but you know, deep down it doesn't. What you were saying, I used to be able to make TVs click. So for example, I could be in my room and I would just go into like this meditative state and my TV would click. And at that point it was, I used to say, grandma, should I go to the casino tonight? Grandma, should I buy this top? And I'd go into that meditative mindset, which looking back was just me being so deep in meditation that my energy would emit and any electronic device would sort of interfere and the TV would click. And it would click twice, click once. And I now look at it as abstracting the energy, like sucking the current out of that telly that it clicks, right? Because a click is essentially some electrical something going on, right? But I would love to record myself speaking to this non-existent grandma spirit, making the TV click and then uploading it online for people to see. Because if I had those videos, I don't know if I have them or not, of me 5 hours during the night talking to this orb, talking to my grandma for 5 hours, it would be purely incredible. Everyone would be like, this kid's fucking crazy. But the alternative is, it's like, do you know what's going on right here? If he isn't speaking, if he's not crazy, he's speaking to this orb. He's saying, go over there. And the orb's going over there. I had this vision, right? I've been on stage, having my iPhone projected on the stage and an audience. And I get an audience member up and I would say, right, in your mindset, I want you to imagine where grandma is going to go. And they would have the ability to make my grandma go over to that corner, like a magician act, like a psychic show. And the paranormal, like, grandma, spirits, if you are in this room, grandma, please make this TV click if you are here. Make the light flicker if you are here. Fly over there, grandma, if you're here. Flash on the screen. If I could explain what I think that was and the alternative to what I think it was, you'd think, holy shit, there's ghosts in this building. Get the fuck out of here. If I then said, stop, yeah, it's just me, my energy, dragging dust through the air, no such thing as ghosts. You'd be like, oh, okay, it's all cool. So yeah, and the thing is, right, looking back, it was deep meditation from 2 a.m. until 5 a.m. I could only drag that dust from being in that state of meditation for so long. That's why you can't just suddenly, okay, I need to meditate now for 10 minutes. You're not in, you should already be in meditation, right? That monk, master, whatever he's called, he's always in that meditation state. You can't, I need to meditate. You're already in it. And so it takes a long time to build up that relaxation to meditate. I know, for example, when I consciously choose to meditate, it takes like 10 minutes just to not feel anything. And then it's like, and okay, now the meditation starts. Or I could be 2 or 3 hours in the morning, lying on the kitchen floor, looking up at the light, moving the dust with my mind, thinking, oh, everyone else is asleep, they've got work tomorrow. If only they could see me here on the fucking floor moving dust. What the fuck is this crazy cunt doing? Yeah. And I used to think that. I used to think to myself, if people could see what I'm doing right now, my parents knew what I was doing right now, laying on the floor, moving dust with my mind, saying it's grandma, when everyone else has got work at 6, and there's me having some toast and cheese 5 minutes afterwards, they would think I was crazy. But to me, it was like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I am just, I'm just being a monk, right? They were good days, but it is a shame she wasn't here. And because I'm speaking about it more, and it's exactly 7 years ago for when I had my awakening. And I do believe there's a link with everything happening in 7 years. Something is going to
today specifically?
What, literally this time 7 years ago is when I came off of medication for Tourette's and I had my awakening. Oh, wow. And I was speaking to grandma. Grandma was doing all this shit. I was finding money. Cheers, grandma. You know, it was all grandma. But you got to understand, grandma was me. It was all me projecting what I wanted and manifesting immediately. Why? Because I admitted that belief. Grandma, go get me this shit. No worries, boss. You wait there. I'll bring it back. Okay. And the meditation default mindset that I was in didn't change. It was just, the energy I didn't use yesterday became energy today. So it was like, wow, £1 million compounds to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8. I can't fucking spend enough of it. And that's what the meditation was, where the more I was in meditation, the more energy I had, the more I attracted, the more I attracted, the more I had. And it was like this fucking generator of just solar charging myself, and it just didn't end. Renewable energy, fucking grandmas became 4, 8 grandmas, 10 grandmas, fucking 1 million grandmas. Yeah? It's like, fucking hell, there's too many. What do I do?
Yeah.
Do you want money? Here's money. Do you want a laptop? Here's a laptop. Do you want love? Here's love. It's like, fucking hell, it's too much. That's what it was like. And no one knows your story because it was me and my experience of my journey.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I don't think my parents know the fact I used to lie on the lounge floor. Like, they knew I used to I used to go to bed at 5 and have a snack at 4. But lying on the floor, speaking to nothing, 4 hours, literally. She used to come downstairs. My parents used to come downstairs. Oliver, what are you doing? You've got a problem. You need to get help. This isn't normal. What's normal? Fuck me, normal. You don't have a shit. But like, I was speaking to some fucking dust. But yeah. I had the powers to move the dust. So am I crazy? Am I fucking gifted?
I think it's gifted. I think it's gifted, you know. And we all have it. We just need to start like throwing out that what we're comfortable with. I mean, you called the grandma because it was easy for you to call it grandma.
That's how Buddhas moved rocks. Dust is a bit of rock, right? That's how people moved rock. Groups of people meditating on a fucking rock and it lifts up. Me meditating on the dust, I move it. It's the same damn thing.
Exactly. They stopped naming it. We often name things because we want to give away that power that we have.
Grandma, when you
realize
this rock.
When you realize that that rock is just dust all together compacted, and you stop calling it a rock, because when you call it a rock, you associate it with what? You associate
weight,
it
heaviness.
With it being solid, weight, heaviness, exactly. But when you start realizing, oh wait, that's just a crap ton of dust over there. What do you associate dust with? It's light. You can move it. You can breathe it. You can choke on it, like Oliver's done.
You can fuck it
first. Exactly. Right.
I'm gonna fuck you, grandma. Right in the pussy.
I think maybe we should we should stay away from labeling it grandma then, if we want to do that. But to be honest with you, when we stop with the labels, we stop giving away our power like that. When we stop calling things, giving them names, when we start accepting them for the energy that they are, like this lighter over here, this is just energy that's been manipulated into plastic, metal, more plastic, a bit of gasoline or whatever's in here, you know? I'm not a lighter expert. I don't know. All I know is that when I do this, it makes fire. That too is also energy, which you can also manipulate. There we go. So it's when you stop calling it and giving it names to give away that power that you have, you can reach so many feats, and you can realize that I myself have gifts. Fortunately for me, I have both my grandmas, so I don't have my ball of grandma light yet. But I do believe my grandfather passed away Christmas morning a few years ago. And one thing that he always left with us was the mindset of benefit of the doubt and being patient, polite, and prepared. And so in everything that I did for the years after he passed was always in patience, politeness, and preparation.
Yes.
Without even actually knowing it. But I never called it, oh, this is what grandpa told me to do.
Yes.
So I'm gonna do it. It was always like, I'm doing it.
Yes.
Wait, where did it come from? It came from that conditioning. But as soon as I labeled it, then okay, it's not my own thing now. It was grandpa's thing. Because now I labeled it. This is what grandpa taught me. But in actual fact, that politeness, that preparation, that oh my gosh, I forgot the last P because I'm so much in flow right now. That politeness, that preparation, and
punani. Punani.
Punani. Whatever. Right. That was just me. That was all just me. And it was the energy that I resonated with him. And so therefore I had control over it. I had control of that dust ball.
Exactly. It wasn't grandma. It was me the whole time.
And it comes back to that manipulation that we spoke about, because you're manipulating that energy into whatever you want it to be, whether it's the spirit, the good spirit, or the bad ghost, the angry haunted ghost, or the dust particle, or the rock, or the million grandmas, because what you focus on also expands. So if you're so happy with seeing the one dust particle grandma, then obviously you're like, okay, hold on. Let's make two dust particle grandmas. This is fun. Let's make more. And so that's what it is. That's what I believe it is. And I personally cannot wait to reach my full meditative state, where in everything I do, I can manipulate as many dust particles as I want to, whenever I want to, without even being conscious about it.
Right. Let's.
I mean, isn't that a fart?
I was actually holding it in, but maybe it slips out and you heard it. Right. I want to end on a high. So we have more to talk about next time. Anything you want to promote right now?
Nothing right now that I want to promote. No. There is a community that I'm a part of that you're well aware of, Oliver, Universal Abundance. If anyone is hearing this and they have not heard of Universal Abundance, just go search it out on Google, Universal Abundance Community, where there's a lot of like-minded people like myself and Oliver. Obviously, some of them are not as funny as Oliver, but all of them I hope to see on Oliver's podcast soon as well. So that's basically it.
Well, I'm going to stop that way there.
Howdy. Thanks for listening to my episode. If you could remember to just rate and review the episode after you've listened, that'd be fantastic. And also subscribe so when I release a new one, you get a notification. And also, please tell your friends on socials about my podcast. Now, I'm going for a poo. I'll be back later. Have a great day and speak to you soon.